Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shugel.
We are talking with Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg, this morning. Dave, I have not talked to you in 2023. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Fredericksburg.
It seems kind of late to be doing that, but it just occurred to me as I'm listening to the theme music, I have not talked to you in 2023. We've got a lot of great things to talk about, but I do need to tell you, yesterday around 9 o'clock, I thought of you because it's always like clockwork, but the ABC newscast at 9 o'clock didn't play yesterday. So that sometimes happens. 9:30 it didn't play. 10 o'clock it didn't play. Turned out there was just this major, and it still is, they've patched it together, but it's still out. There's this major outage with the distribution for ABC News. And you just see how technology, something goes wrong, and just how it impacts everything.
With when one thing happens, yeah, it can snowball and other things happen. And without internet everything is so dependent one way or another on technology. If something happens, it can really, really throw a monkey wrench into everyone's plans.
Yeah, and you mentioned internet, and you just think when there are outages or widespread outages, and we've seen it with the grid and things like that. You hope there are good backup systems on some of this stuff.
Yes, and yesterday we had some clients around Fredericksburg that were down, no internet. Some of the internet service providers were having issues, and it can create havoc. And because a lot of businesses, everything is dependent on it. They have voice over IP phones, they have all their PCs and laptops, and with no internet, that is a problem to do business.
And I'm sure with what you do, working with businesses, sometimes there are things you can do, but other times there aren't.
It depends on the redundancy systems of the business, how much money the business has put into their IT infrastructure. Do they have a backup internet? Do they have, you know, a 5G wireless or cellular backup or a different type of internet? Or with nothing. If they have nothing and the internet goes down, then you're scrambling. You might use your cell phone as a hotspot or something of that nature. But other than that, you're just dead in the water.
Yeah. You're a weather guy that likes to follow the weather. And I'm trying to remember you. You're the kind of person you want to see one big snowstorm a year. Isn't that you?
Sort of. I love snow, and I'm a little bit excited today because there is some type of frozen precipitation in the forecast. It's not going to amount to anything, but it could be pretty to watch. but I'm not expecting any snow around here. No, nothing big.
I was just going to say if you were to go off on we really need to have a big snow, I was going to say you and I have nothing more in common and we would just go our separate ways. I'd be fine if we stayed like this, had cold rains, and then we just gradually get into spring.
Yeah, I'm ready for spring at this point. I'm tired of the rain. I'm tired of just cloudy days and the mud, and I'm ready for spring.
We talked, I think it was last month, we talked about just the high tech way that the weather service does things, and it is pretty impressive how forecasts are put together, and especially when you think about just even a few years ago how they were.
Yeah, back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, we had the satellite imagery. We had all the reporting stations all over the country, you know, with all their statistics. But now we have huge data center, basically, of weather computers, of supercomputers that are programmed. You put in all the information, they spit out a forecast. And it's not perfect, but every year, theoretically, it should get more and more accurate as time goes on. And right now, they're getting some pretty good accuracy out of these meteorological forecasting models.
Yeah,
and especially with hurricanes, they've saved a lot of lives with their hurricane forecasts.
Well, and just even the radar, the radar, especially in the summer, you can look at some of this radar, and you see, especially when things are coming in from the west, you get a pretty good idea how long it will be before it gets to your house.
Absolutely, and with the newer Doppler radars, you can actually see the wind velocity moving towards or away from the radar. And you can see, you know, the hook echoes. Is there a possible tornado here? The old school, old style radars with the sweeping dial that goes across it, they didn't show that. They showed actual reflectivity of the precipitation, but not wind speed velocities. So that was a game changer as far as saving people with tornadoes and high winds.
Dave, the computer guy here this morning, we've got a good show coming up. We got a lot of things and a number of things we're going to talk about this morning that you have been seeing in the office.
Yes, a lot of hacking going on. I was going to say it's a spike, but it's almost an epidemic. We've getting a lot of people that are being hacked. And I want to go over some a safety checklist that's virtually free and very, very easy to do to help protect yourselves from being hacked.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back with Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com is the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our good friend Dave the Computer Guy here this morning with Tex in the Berg. TexintheBerg.com is the website. They're over on Lafayette Boulevard. So this is interesting, Dave, just about hacking that you're seeing a lot about it. I think I've seen some stories nationally, and I just know from seeing things on my computer sometimes, it just seems like there's kind of an uptick in getting things on your computer that you see aren't right, and you just delete them. But the fact that you're talking about it and saying it really is an epidemic is concerning.
Yes, and we've had, I guess, for the past week or 10 days or so, just an influx of people calling. They've been hacked. They don't know what to do. Their Facebook has been hacked. Their email's been hacked. Their bank accounts, everything. And there are some easy, inexpensive ways to help prevent this that people really, really need to pay attention to and enact. And some of the major ones are using a password manager. And they range from free to about $3 to $6 a month. They store all your passwords. Mm-hmm. You have one main password that accesses the password manager. That's the only thing you have to remember, and it takes care of everything else. That is a really, really good security measure for people. And create long, complex passwords with the password manager. Make sure you have antivirus on your computer. And one thing I want to reinforce is on social media, don't volunteer too much information. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will friend anyone that sends them a friend request, and they will have their birth date actually on their Facebook account. And so you'll have a stranger that not only knows your name, they know where you live, and they'll have your birth date right off the bat. That is scary. Mm-hmm. And if you put your birth date on Facebook, make it a week off or two or three weeks off from what it really is. You don't have to put your exact birth date. Don't let people know this type of stuff on social media. It's unnecessary.
That's a great idea. I've never even considered. I mean, the birth date, I don't on mine. But if you're going to do that, don't make it exact or like you say, even the year. But make the year a few years off. You shouldn't even probably use the year.
Make it a few weeks off the actual date or month. And don't give them this information because a lot of the people, on Facebook that someone might be friends with, they've never met. They really don't know them. And all of a sudden you're given, your name, your location, and your birth date to these people. They're halfway there from hacking everything you got.
Yeah,
and
that's scary.
That's right off the bat. And don't do that. It's unnecessary. And beyond that is to turn on the multi-factor authentication, not only on Facebook, but Twitter, Instagram, your email accounts, your banking accounts. It's free. There's no reason not to do that. And that will help you tremendously between a password manager, the dual-factor authentication, and not gifting a lot of personal information to people you really don't even know. That's going to help tremendously avoid all kinds of problems.
You're making it harder for the person, for the bad guy.
Yes, absolutely, making it harder for them. And it's not that hard to make it hard on them. It's not hard to enact the dual-factor authentication. It's not hard to change your birth date on stuff that you really don't need to put it on anyway, or install a password manager for $2 or $3 or $4 a month. These small things can make a big difference in your life of keeping your online banking, your email, and everything secured.
And I guess if someone were to say to you, well, Dave, the dual factor authentication, it's just such a hassle having to deal with that. It's a bigger hassle if you get hacked.
Oh my, Ted, when we have people that have been hacked, their bank accounts, we have one company that someone called, this wasn't computer related. We had somebody call a company's bank and try to have their keyword, their security word changed. And they did it several times. And the bank was like, okay, these people are trying to get access to this account. So they froze the account. And this particular bank never contacted the owner of that business. So all their checks were being returned, deposits weren't being made, and the owner had no idea what was going on until they contacted the bank, and they're like, yeah, we had a possible fraud going on with this account, and they're like, well, why did you close, you froze the account, but you never contacted us?
Yeah.
And now this company's scrambling, trying to make heads or tails of what's going on, and it's a mess, But partially it was obviously the guy's fault. He was trying to hack, get into the account illegally, but it was also the bank's fault for not contacting the owner of the account, letting him know all this.
Right. Well, I mean, like you say, it's a mess. It's a mess on all fronts.
It's a horrible mess. And that's a business related thing. On a personal level, if someone, you wake up and your account's been hacked, your banking account, your email's been hacked, your Facebook's been hacked. We have numerous people right now that we're dealing with it. Their Facebook's been hacked, they're locked out, someone's taken over their account, doing all kinds of horrible things and ruining people's reputations, and it's a horrible mess, and it doesn't have to be this way.
And like you say, all of these things are so easy to do, and it just takes a few more. It may take another 30 seconds or a few more clicks, but ultimately, the things that you're describing can engulf you, and
it can wreck people. Literally can wreck people, and a lot of people live week to week and month to month, and if their account is frozen, they can't pay their rent, they can't pay this or whatever. That's a big problem, and it's all because of these cyber criminals.
you and I have talked about this, and I know I've talked to local law enforcement in the Better Business Bureau, and they all say together that these people that are behind the hacking, they're really it's really sophisticated. Don't think that you're smarter than them and you'll outsmart them, because this is what they do.
This is what they do. They've become very, very slick. And I used to joke that I think they just have more time on their hands. They don't have a real job. All their job is to think of ways to mess other people up. So they sit back and they are sophisticated. They've been, a lot of them have been doing this for a long time. They know all the tricks. They play upon people's vulnerabilities. They find them and exploit them. And that's why these small steps that people can take as far as the dual-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication, the password manager, antivirus software, firewalls, update your software on all your devices, your PCs, laptops, mobile devices, and be careful of emails you use. If you do all these things, you're going to stand a very, very strong chance that you will not be hacked.
Yeah, boy, and there is nothing worse than when you realize that you have been hacked, because
and you didn't take these precautions.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, gosh, if I had done this, it would have taken 5 or 10 seconds to send a text to my phone to get authentication to access this account. I didn't do that. Now my account's frozen and my money's gone.
And so often, Dave, the antivirus. That's been, I think, has been drilled into us, and we've seen it over the years of, yes, you have to do that. But as we go along and as everything gets more sophisticated, and as you talk about just the uptick in all of this, all of these other ones, you almost have to look like, yeah, I have antivirus, but I also now need to get a password manager, because...
There's not one thing, Ted. It's a multiple layer of security you have to have. None of them are expensive, none of them are hard, mm-hmm. but there are multiple layers of protection that you have to enact. And if you do that, it makes the hacker's job almost impossible. If you have the multi-factor authentication, the password manager, updated software, and you're smart about opening emails, the chances of being hacked become very, very slim. If you don't do all these things, the hackers have a much better chance of getting you.
And I am sure that there are times when you sit down with your clients and they've been hacked, and you must at times in your mind just think, you know, we've talked about this. This was so in probably all cases, this was preventable if you had just done these
yes.
things.
Yep, and sometimes they do take precautions, and nothing is 100%.
Right.
But when you don't take any precautions and you get hacked, that's really sad. And you don't know the pain and suffering it causes. I have one young lady who's extraordinarily upset about what's happened to her, and we're trying to fix it. It's a horrible mess, and we're trying to fix it, but she was on the verge of crying. And it is really bad. There's a lot of pain and suffering caused by hacking. And these small steps will do a lot to help.
And in some of these cases, either your computer is not salvageable, that you can get off of it, or you can lose a lot of money with something like this.
Oh, hackers, they make millions and millions of dollars doing this. Absolutely. People definitely can lose money. Years ago, I had an account that was hacked, and I was able to get the money back, but it was some malicious overseas thing and on a personal account, and I don't know how they got it, but they did. But anyway, they ended up not getting anything, but anyone can be hacked, and they get millions and millions of dollars doing it.
If I feel like something's not right on my computer and it's been compromised in some way, best thing to do just turn it off right away and contact you?
Absolutely. Turn it off. If you think you've been hacked, you turn your computer off completely. I mean, hold in the power button for 5 seconds. It will shut off. Call your bank. Call your credit card companies. You can freeze your credit, and there's some things you can do to help yourself instantly. A lot of people won't do that. They'll keep the computer on. They'll go, well, I'll call my bank next week. No, you call your bank right now. Call all your credit card companies, and you start acting immediately.
Is there anything when you have been hacked, or can you tell on your computer sometimes whether it's that someone else seems to be having control of it, or are there any signs?
Absolutely. So one of the major signs is if you're on your computer and you try to get on, let's say, your webmail or your bank account or something like
that,
and all of a sudden your email and password credentials do not work.
Hmm.
That's a telltale sign. Okay, somebody's gotten a hold of my account and they've changed the password or the username. That's a telltale sign.
For somebody like you who's done this and been involved with computers from really almost the start, you must at times just sit back amazed at the technology and just the ruthlessness of hackers these days.
It's as ruthless as you can get. There's different types of crime, and you know, like in during the Great Depression, and you know, in the 20s, 30s, and even the 40s, you had all these mobsters and everything, and all the gang killings and everything. Criminals can be very, very ruthless, and the cyber criminals, just because you don't see them and they're sitting in a room with a computer, doesn't mean they're not every bit as ruthless as a mobster back in the day. They want your money, whether they destroy your life or kill you or whatever, they're going to get it.
Wow. And as you said, this is nothing to play around with, and just what you're seeing locally when you call something an epidemic, it gets my attention.
Yeah, it's got my attention when we see people every day calling. I can't get into my bank account. I can't get my email. Like, my Facebook has been hacked, and it's numerous people every single day.
Good stuff. Scary stuff, but good stuff. It's good to talk about this, though, to get it out into thinking.
To get the precautions out.
If you've got parents, or you've got friends, or you've got neighbors that are online but may not be as savvy as you, you might want to talk to them about this.
Absolutely. Multi-factor authentication, password managers, and be safe opening emails.
Tex in the Berg, Dave, the computer guy, with us this morning. They're at 505 Lafayette Boulevard, 371-2874 is the number there, and texintheberg.com. Much more coming up. We're going to talk about football stadium technology when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 831.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave, the computer guy, with Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard, with us this morning on the show. Dave, at times you remind me of the most interesting man in the world, because on your Facebook page, this was just a couple of days ago, you have a picture of a Dell server, and you see, I mean, it looks big in the picture, but you also mentioned that to move it, you needed to move it with a forklift.
Yeah. The box was huge. It was mounted to a big wooden pallet, and they took it off the truck and brought it into the office with a forklift. And it's a monster. It's for one of our clients we've had dealt with for many years, and they wanted new PCs and a big new server, and it's not the fastest thing in the world. That's not what we were aiming for, so to speak.
Yeah.
We were aiming for reliability. So redundant power supplies, a lot of redundancy with the hard drives. The thing is just massive and heavy. And once we get out of the box, we don't need a forklift to move it. but we definitely need a dolly and to move this thing around. This is not something you just pick up and throw over your shoulder and walk across a room with. And these are big, big things. And there's a reason for it. It's all the redundancy in it and the quality of it. And they're just real heavy, massive things.
Interesting. Now, I looked at that, and well, that was my question. So I guess once you do get it out of the box and everything, because I thought if they needed a forklift to take it to your office, you're going to need a forklift to move it to where it eventually goes. With everything today getting so small, to see something that big, this obviously is going to be doing a whole lot of work.
Yeah, and it's going to be doing a lot of work, but like I was mentioning, what we really want out of this is reliability. This thing, in 5 or 7 years, it's still going to be a real good server, and the chances of it failing, the downtime, are about as low as you can get. This is unless you want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've worked in IT departments where the servers did cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to spend that kind of money, this is about as good as you're going to get for any small to medium-sized business as far as reliability goes.
Wow, hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's hard to imagine.
And I remember one time, oh gosh, this was about 20-some years ago in the IT department at this company. One of the servers went out. That server back then cost $250,000, and it was down for several days. Rebuilding it, me and some other people, and that company had probably about 120, 130 stores in like 6 or 7 states, and the whole company's down for several days. And that is a big. Big deal. And so we basically worked 24 hours a day until it was fixed. And it's luckily doesn't happen a lot when a $250,000 server goes down. But when it does, it can cause a big time problem. That's the reliability of the server I'm talking about, you know, with the redundant power supplies, redundant everything virtually on it. That's as reliable as you're going to get.
For a business that has a server, I guess it's like any computer. After 4 or 5 years, you need to probably check on it and make sure, and if you need to, change it out.
Absolutely. A server is nothing more than a beefy computer,
yeah.
A beefy PC, basically, and they go bad too. Anything, it's not a question of if it's going to go bad, it's when, and it's electronics, it's going to fail sooner or later. But the redundancy, if one power supply goes off, you've got another power supply. If a hard drive fails, you're still working. You just replace the hard drive. These type of things make a big difference.
Same thing with a Wi-Fi network, whether it's at work or a Wi-Fi network at home. Did they get old too?
Absolutely. Everything electronic. It gets old, and plus the technology changes. The Wi-Fi systems we have today, the Wi-Fi 6 standard, is so much faster than back in the old days of. I think we started off with A, B, and we had N for a long time, and then AX, and the Wi-Fi standard now is the whole everything is so much better right now than it was just 5 years ago. It's like night and day.
And I guess it would probably be safer too. We talk about hacking. That's another way you can get in.
It is definitely safer, faster, everything. It's just better all around. The coverage in a home, back in the, several years ago, getting coverage like in a 5 or 8,000 square foot home was very, very problematic. With extenders, the signal would drop out. It just wasn't ready for prime time. What we have now is so much better. You can Wi-Fi up a house very easy from every corner in that house.
I was going to say everybody has the stories about having the bedroom in the corner or the office, and you can't get good service there.
Yeah, the internet will come over or come into the house in one. Corner of the basement, and the living room and bedrooms are all in the opposite end of the house, two stories up or something, and the coverage was never any good there. Now it can be.
Dave, the computer guy, with Texan the Berg here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Football stadium technology, that has changed. We talk about technology and in some of the changes. These new stadiums that are being built, especially whether it's NBA, NFL, any of this stuff, has all kinds of bells and whistles.
I was thinking about this, Ted, this past Sunday during these two playoff games,
yeah,
about some of the new technology in the stadiums. And the SoFi Stadium in California, that I was looking more and more into that. Just over a year ago when they had the Super Bowl, mm-hmm, there, I guess I was just really busy with other things, and I wasn't thinking so much about the technology in that new state-of-the-art stadium. But this Sunday, watching these football games, I started looking into that more. It is outrageous, Ted, that the technology in the stadium. The Wi-Fi system itself has over 2,500 access points scattered throughout the stadium. 2,500.
Wow.
They're Cisco access points. I'm guesstimating they cost $1,000 to $2,000 a piece. That's a few million dollars minimum, just for the access points for the Wi-Fi. And the TV is outrageous. And when I was looking at the specs on it, people want to buy a big screen TV to watch a Super Bowl,
yeah,
and everything on, maybe a 65 or 75 or 85 inch TV. This thing at the SoFi Stadium, the TV there is 70,000 square foot and weighs 2.2 million pounds.
Need a few forklifts for that.
Yes, you would need a forklift for that, or maybe a forklift with a forklift,
right,
that lifts this thing. And it has 268 speakers and 56 5G antennas in it. And beyond that 70,000 square foot TV, they also have 2,600 large Samsung displays throughout the stadium. And so this, you talk about Samsung getting a contract that will make them.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do this at the stadium is just outrageous. I've never heard of anything like this, a 70,000 square foot TV display.
Yeah, no, it's just to be that. I mean, the Cowboys Stadium too is just loaded with technology.
And I was thinking how great that would be with the Commanders.
Yeah.
If Virginia could get the stadium and build a state-of-the-art high-tech stadium in Virginia with easy access to 95 and parking right next to the stadium,
yeah,
or near a metro or something, oh gosh, that would be wonderful.
Well, in the technology you talk about, I think it's all stadiums, even some older ones, they've fitted them to have the Wi-Fi. There are just things that we demand now. Nobody wants to go to a game.
And I was thinking back in the day, I remember seeing the Commanders. Well, at that time they were called the Redskins.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s at RFK.
Yeah.
And there are no big screen TVs. There's
no
Wi-Fi. There's nothing. They had the reinforced concrete decking that would vibrate, and mm-hmm, I remember the whole stand shaking up and down. And if John Riggins ran for a touchdown or if something happened, that whole stadium would be shaking up and down the platforms. And I'd never forget that growing up. And so I sort of miss that now. But the new stadiums, with all this technology, you can sit at your seat with your phone or with a tablet on the Wi-Fi there, with an app for the stadium, order food or drinks, mm-hmm, tell them your seat number. They will bring everything out to you, and that's it.
I know. The days of standing in line for everything. And
One thing I did want to mention, that SoFi Stadium, well, it is state-of-the-art. It's outrageous in every way. The prices are a little bit outrageous, too. A hot dog is $8. And if you wanted to add a glass of beer to that, the beer and the hot dog are $30 plus.
Wow. How do you take just a family
for a
to
hot
that?
Hot dog and a glass of beer.
Yeah. Just you and a bunch of guys going, and it's going to cost you.
That's a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, besides even the ticket. You haven't even talked about
that
the ticket.
That would be an event. That would be an event.
Wow. I'm sure for you to look at that kind of technology, just in that massive of a level of technology, is it's just amazing to see.
Yeah, the more I look at this, the more in awe I am of it. That to have this type of Wi-Fi system, this type of displays,
yeah,
2,600 large format displays scattered throughout the place, besides the huge 70,000 square foot display that's dual sided, everyone can see it no matter where you're sitting. It's over the top, to say the least. And they paid for it. I think it was about $5 or $6 billion.
Yeah, for that stadium. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We, the Commanders need this stadium.
They need it
in
for
Virginia.
You, Dave. Well, we talk all the time just about what a great time we live in. Just, I mean, the things technologically that we're seeing and that we talk about every month. This is just it's amazing where we're at.
Yes, the first part of the show we were talking about some of the pitfalls of this technology, which there's some big ones.
Yep.
But there's some also big pluses to it also.
Yep.
And so we got to take the good with the bad, but try to protect yourself from the bad and just utilize the good. And hopefully someday, if the Commanders can get this stadium and a state-of-the-art stadium in Northern Virginia, what a boom that would be.
Dave, the computer guy, Tex in the Berg with us this morning. TexintheBerg.com is the website. They're on Lafayette Boulevard. We'll take one final break and come back. We'll talk about speakers and data centers when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
It is Dave the Computer Guy with us this morning. Tex in the Berg is as we talk technology. Before we wrap this up, back to our hacking discussion, Dave. A question was, what sort of two-factor authentication can be used?
Okay, what are the main ones, Ted, would be, okay, you sign into like your email or your banking account. And it says, okay, enter your passcode. When you set up the dual-factor authentication on your that particular account, you can enter your cell phone number, and it will text a code to your cell phone. So if you're on a PC or a laptop somewhere and you try to log in, it's going to send a code to your cell phone. You enter that text code. That's another layer of security.
Okay.
And that's how that works.
Okay. On to a couple other things. Speakers. You've been telling me about some pretty fantastic computer speakers that you have run across.
Yeah, I'm sort of a stereo nut, and I've come across a couple of different speakers that are very inexpensive and really, really good. They're made by a company called Monoprice, and there's two particular ones. One is a DT-3 and a DT-3B. One's $85, one's $100, and that's a pair. And you cannot beat this for a $100 pair of speakers. They're powered Bluetooth speakers. They sound pretty good for $100.
Yeah.
And compared to anything else you're going to get for $100 for a personal computer or a laptop, you couldn't touch these, not for $100, and for that kind of price, to actually have somewhat high fidelity sound coming out of a computer is outrageous. And so these I would definitely say are a best buy.
Okay, good enough. You always, whether it's PCs or speakers or chairs or anything, you always each month have some little tip for us that make things a little better.
The speaker can really, really bring a lot of enjoyment to people. We work with a lot of different handicapped people, And just like a person who's visually impaired or completely blind, they depend on sound a lot more than a normal person that can see might put emphasis on sound. And I've had them say, I want a really, really good speaker system for my computer. And they're willing to pay several hundred or even $1,000 for speakers. It's so important to them. But for the average person that just wants good-sounding speakers for their computer, these mono-price speakers are outrageous for $100. You can't get any better.
Data centers are something that that Prince William County has been dealing with. Stafford's about to. Spotsylvania's talking about this. This is the big issue and things we're going to start hearing about. And they're an interesting. We're about in this area to start really hearing a lot about data centers.
We're going to be hearing more and more about this, Ted. They're coming somewhere. I don't know exactly where they're going to end up being located, but there's going to be more and more of them. It's going to be dictated by the price of the land, which isn't the end-all to be-all for the data centers. The big thing is going to be the power grid and the internet grid, basically. They have to have fiber. They have to have a tremendous power infrastructure in the area where these are going to be built. They're just massive structures, hundreds of thousands of square feet and thousands of computers. And the one thing that I hope is they're not going to be built right next to a subdivision or right next to, you know, a bunch of homes somewhere.
Because they're loud.
They are loud. There's tremendous cooling systems to keep thousands of computers cool, and they make noise. And so they're going to have to be located somewhere outside of a residential district, hopefully, and that will happen. But They will be coming. They're going to be somewhere around here. We just don't know where.
It's just from following in Prince William County. It's the noise and it's the amount of water that's needed.
Yeah, the noise they create, the electricity they use, these things are absolutely massive. The cooling systems. You don't really have to worry about heating these things, even on really cold days around DC. These things produce enough heat to warm themselves under almost any conditions, weather conditions. But to keep them cool, just unbelievably engineered AC system.
And the thing that makes them so, the localities are wanting them just because of the money. It's
the money.
It's
absolutely
huge.
The county wants the employ a fair amount of people. Mm-hmm. The amount of infrastructure they have, the number of PCs, all this stuff's going to be taxed, and that's what they want, the tax base.
It is millions and millions of dollars in both Western Prince William has them and Stafford and Spotsylvania.
Loudoun County and Prince William County, they're making a lot of money from these.
Yeah. I have a feeling you and I are going to be talking about data centers in the months ahead.
In the near future, we will definitely be revisiting this as we'll hear more and more about it in Stafford County.
Yeah. The General Assembly talked about it yesterday. One of the committees of Bobby Orrock. Chairs dealt with some of it yesterday, and it is in the future. So the big thing you talked about was hacking. Be careful about that. Don't become a victim and make that part of your
password
story.
Managers, dual factor authentication. Be careful opening emails. You do those three things, you're one step ahead of the criminals.
TechsInTheBurg.com, the website for Dave the Computer Guy there on Lafayette Boulevard in downtown Fredericksburg. Dave, as always, thank you for taking some time this morning. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg.
Dave the Computer Guy, TechsInTheBurg, TechsInTheBurg.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.